Well, wine is a great addition to almost any meal, and it's a special treat when the grapes were grown locally and the wine itself was produced here in Wisconsin. Philippe Coquart is the award-winning winemaker at Wallersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin. He's from the Beaujolais region of France, originally comes to us from a winemaking family, has been with us many times. Philippe, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, Larry.
Great to have you along. And as you listen in, maybe you visited the Wallersheim Winery, or maybe you have a favorite wine that they produce, or maybe you need some advice on what wine might go well with your Thanksgiving menu. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. Philippe, last year we all dealt with a horrible drought. How'd the vineyards do?
Last year was extremely difficult. You know, we sure hope to never see another year like last year. I mean, we got hit with a spring frost and then the drought, and the drought was hard. We ended up having to put emergency drip irrigation, which we did, and it saved the vines. There's a point where you want to save the vines, even if you have to jeopardize the crop. And all in all, we came out good. The vines recovered. We had a good winter. Wasn't too cold, enough snow. We had a lot of moisture in the spring, if you remember, a very rainy spring. And so we are not seeing any long-lasting negative effect on the vine. So that's the good thing.
Oh, that's great. So this year's growing season is a pretty good one.
It was very good. Extremely happy with the outcome, with the vintage. It is a good vintage. We were, you know, a little concerned with the excess of rain that we had in May and June. However, we'll take the rain then and not in August. So it was a good year, good growing season.
Well, it's traditional to release the year's Beaujolais Nouveau on the third Thursday in November. So if we were in Beaujolais this week, what would be going on there?
Oh, you would see wine tasting everywhere. Every local bistro, every restaurant, every wineries have open houses. And not only in Beaujolais, but throughout Europe, England, Paris, France, Germany, everybody is celebrating the release of Beaujolais Nouveau. It might not be as big as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, but it's still a worldwide celebration of the release of the first wine of the year.
And you celebrate. What's going to be going on at Wallersheim?
So actually, this Thursday morning, it is open to the public. We have a little what we call barrel tapping, where we have some wine, and I tap a barrel, and we have a toast, and we have Wisconsin sausage and cheese. And so everybody's welcome to come and have a glass of wine and share a good time. On Saturday, we have a much bigger tasting, Ruby Nouveau day. And actually this Saturday, we will have the guys from Wisconsin Foodies that will be at the winery to chat and talk with people. And we have a lot of throughout the tour or throughout the winery, we are pairing cheese and wine, and so you can taste and read some sign and talk and have fun. So,
oh, and your Ruby Nouveau, I love. Of course, I haven't tasted it yet for this year, but I love your label.
Yeah, which
beautiful
is
beautiful label.
The cave, which was reopened this June. As you know, the cave dates back to 1847.
Yeah. So it was wow. So what makes Beaujolais Nouveau different from other wines?
Well, it's a grape known as Gamay. Gamay grows well in the Beaujolais region. And in the 1960s, they came up with a concept of a whole berry fermentation where you don't crush the berries like a Cabernet, a Pinot, a Syrah. So you ferment the wine in the whole berry. And it gives different aromas, a little bit fruitier, a little bit lighter. And so Beaujolais is very well suited for that. And in 1984, when I came on board, Bob Wollersheim asked me to make a wine like I would do at home. So that's kind of was the beginning of the Ruby Nouveau. And so Beaujolais has been sold as Beaujolais Nouveau since the 60s, extremely popular. So and it's a wine that doesn't have to age, should not age.
Drink it young.
Drink it in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, and it's extremely fruity and light and floral, and it goes with Thanksgiving turkey, and it goes with holiday.
Perfect for that. And are there other wines like that, or is that a unique wine, pretty much?
There are many other light reds that would be in the style of a Beaujolais Nouveau. If you take, there's a lot of un-oaked red wine. We might have had a tendency to over-oaked many wines, and there's a little bit of a pullback to not over-oaked the wine. So you have a lot of Sangiovese, and we have another one called Pre Sunburst Red that are un-oaked red wine and are in the style of a Nouveau.
Philippe Cocard is the award-winning winemaker at Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac. Great to have him along today as we talk about wines, the Beaujolais Nouveau release, and some of the cultural traditions surrounding it, and talking about wine and winemaking. You may have a question about a wine to serve or a question about maybe making your own wine. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I want to get to some of the Facebook comments. Chris says, he loves his show when you come on every year for this particular topic. I'm hoping to hear that we in the La Crosse area will be able to buy this year's Beaujolais Nouveaux locally. Last year, our local stores could not get it. I love to serve this at our Thanksgiving meal.
I'm quite sure it will be available. We have more Ruby Nouveau than we had last year. Last year, because of the drought, we were down 20%, 25%, 30%. So, actually, Chris could call the winery and find out which store would have it in the La Crosse area.
Okay, so, but it will be in
La Crosse. It should be, yes.
Facebook comment from Rich. Wisconsin is identified in a recent Salon.com article as one of the unexpected but notable wine producers of the world, along with Bolivia, Morocco, and Japan.
Yeah, we just saw that this morning. It was very awesome to see us mentioned.
I have not seen that yet. I've got to look that up. That is the great news. It's another comment from Lorraine in Mineral Point. Is going to serve beef tenderloin for Thanksgiving. Is there a wine variety that you would recommend for a beef tenderloin?
I would go with, Ruby Nouveau will be fine. However, I would go with something a little bit hardier, a little bit heavier. As Wollersheim wine, Domaine du Sac would be perfect with that. Otherwise, a Merlot or Cab, a Syrah would be as suited. A little bit harder, a little bit heavier to go with the beef.
Yep, I think you're right there. Anne in Marshfield, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to say best wishes to Wollersheim Winery. I worked for 6 months in the Wollersheim Winery in 1979. I loved the experience. It changed my attitude about wine. I learned from Mr. Wollersheim and Mr. Wollersheim Sr. I bottled wine in the cellars with Mr. Wollersheim Sr. It just changed my life about wine. I appreciated it so much.
Thank you for the kind comment. We miss Bob, and I've never met his father, but I've heard a lot of good about Grandpa Wollersheim. So, thank you.
And you should probably make a visit back. The grounds and that are, they're still the same place, but there have been a lot of changes and a lot of additions that you'd probably enjoy.
Oh, I bet I would. I used to give the tours. It would be good to take the tour again.
Yeah, it has changed a lot, but it's the same people, you know.
Yeah,
so.
same people. Thanks, Ann.
Say hello to the family.
Thank you.
All right, he will do that, I'm sure. Larry and Casmo, it's your turn. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I'm making some red wine, and I got too much acid in the grapes and in the must, and I'm wondering how to reduce it.
Well, the easiest would be to force the wine or invite the wine to do what we call a malolactic fermentation, which is the transformation of malic acid into lactic acid. And that will be done via some bacteria, Lichenostochinos, those would be, it's a natural way of deacidifying the wine. There are other ways to do it, but I would not encourage you to go that route. We never do that. The best way is what we call a secondary fermentation, malolactic fermentation.
There you
malolactic.
Go. Yep.
And you do that after the wine is fermented out.
Yeah, you do that right now. And that's what we are doing right now on our Sangiovese Pinot Noir, our ongoing malolactic fermentation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Let's go to Tom and Puett. Let's see here. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling. Yep.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
I'm curious about Malbec wine. I know it's made from grapes in Argentina. I like it better than Cabernet. I'm not sure why. And when he's mentioning red wines, he never mentions Malbec. Could you just talk a little bit about Malbec and why do I like it better than Cabernet? What's distinctive about it compared to the, like Cabernet or Merlot?
Malbec is an upcoming, unknown but upcoming varietal. It's been grown in Europe and especially south of France, Spain, Italy for a long, long time. It is one of those big, beefy red wine. And it's usually soft, higher alcohol, softer tannin coming from warm growing region. And it is good, and it is always good. It's a good wine. It's never a great, fine, classy wine, but it is a nice change away from a Cabernet and a Syrah and so on. You know, when we talk about elegance and finesse, we talk Pinot Noir. If you want soft, big, and bold, Carignan, Malbec, Bonarda, those would be the upcoming style. It is a fairly new, undiscovered, but heavily promoted red wine lately. Mm.
There we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Talking Wines today with Philippe Coquard, award-winning winemaker at Wallersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac. He is from the Beaujolais region of France originally, comes from a winemaking family, and certainly in a winemaking family right now. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with Philippe Coquard, a winemaker at Wallersheim Winery, and he comes from a long family of winemakers. How many generations?
13th. I am the 13th generation winemaker.
That in your family?
In my family, either on my father's side or mother's side. Both were on my mother's side. We traced it back to 1490.
1490.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! So 2 years before Columbus. Took the ships over here, brought the ship. Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, it's fun having him on, and you can join in with your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. Rich in Galena, Illinois, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, my question is simply, what is a good natural low-alcohol wine? The 13%ers tend to produce, for me, a headache later. So I was just wondering what his recommendation for that is.
Low, you know, it's funny how things have changed over 30 years of time. 12% was very standard and commonly accepted. And now 12% is considered on the low side. So 11 to 12 is good. It's a good balance, and you don't want a lot less for a red wine. We have many white wines, such as our white Riesling, dry Riesling, Parfumé, are 10% and below. Light red wine at 12% are good. The bigger the wine is, Malbec, Cab, Merlot, Syrah, then they deserve to be a little bit higher alcohol, so they are picked later. When you say natural alcohol, 99% of the time, the alcohol is natural based on the sugar content of the grapes at which they were picked. So we will pick a Pinot Noir at 23.5, 23.8, 24 breaks in order to get 13.5% of alcohol. So if you want less alcohol, you pick a little bit sooner at 20, 21, 22 breaks. You have less sugar, less alcohol, and maybe a little bit less tannin as well. So that's why those wines are on the quote-unquote lighter side than heavier.
There you go. Thank you very much for that question. And Katie in Waupaca, thank you for calling. Hello.
Good morning. I'd like to ask your guest if he could talk a little bit about the Carmenere wine, something we've discovered recently, and why that has such a unique flavor, at least we find.
Can you shed some lights on what it would be?
Carmenere. It's a Chilean wine?
It is a Chilean wine. I've heard it has an interesting background where the grape was imported from Europe and is difficult to transplant, but it seems to thrive in Chile. And I just find it has a really nice spice to it almost.
Yeah,
flavor.
And it's so interesting because there is so many different wines. There is as many wines as there are region, vintages, wineries, and winemakers, and so on. And I have heard Carmenere, and I have tasted, and it is interesting, but I won't really venture myself telling you what's what because I'm not so familiar with it. There is so many good wine coming from Argentina and Chile. And there's a lot more to be discovered and to be enjoyed.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And let's go to, listener, Catherine, is wondering, is there a good wine choice to serve with chili?
Red. And I would go with something a little bit bigger than the Nouveau or Beaujolais, or I would go to a Cabernet style or Domaine du Sac, Syrah, Merlot, a little bit heavier, something that would support the spices in the chili. You don't want a light white wine. You want something equal in flavor and intensity as the chili.
Gene in Almond, Wisconsin. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning to your guests. It seems to me that the sweeter the wine, the less respect it gets. It seems like the classier wines are always drier, and I was just wondering why that was so, or if that indeed is so.
You know, it is interesting, and on let's take a two route. One assumption is yes, indeed, the best wine of the world, the classiest wines of the world, are always dry. Dry, you can discover all the different flavor and layer and nuances of flavor. Let's say in a Pinot Noir or Cabernet, you will find 15 to 20 descriptors of, you know, from the taste of the earth, what we call the terroir, and was it crushed, what kind of tannin, what kind of barrels were aged, and how that has, how is it all aging together. You know, there's what we call a reduction oxidation complex, and that's what make those dry wine so good. However, that should not diminish the quality of the sweet wine. They have their place. And sometimes the sweetness shorten the length of the taste, unless you are talking ice wine, late harvest. Those are extremely special. They are rare. Not every part of the world can make ice wine. So you have the fancy sweet wine like ice wine. You have the fancy dry red wine that are world class. But, you know, being a winemaker, making wine for 40 years of my life, I'm 51 years old tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, and, happy birthday.
But, you know, we make it all, and it's meant to be enjoyed. And so I'm never going to say, oh, a semi-dry is less classy than a red wine. You know, it's a personal taste. Yes, it is an assumption, but if they are well-made, clean, they are all good wines.
Yep.
Well, thank you and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gene. Dolores in Kenosha, thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, yes. Well, an early happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And what is the status of your brandy?
Well, brandy is big. You know, it's I remember Julie and I sitting at the top of the hill and watching 3,000 people in line waiting for the brandy, and the monster was out of the cage, and there's no way to put it back in. So the next brandy is coming out May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And
May 3rd is my birthday.
Wow.
I'll have to ask for that.
And so there will be some distributed statewide in select store by our distributor. Oh, we will have some at the winery those 3 days, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We produced as a batch number 2 is double the quantity of batch number 1. So we will have 10,000 bottles for our customers. We are building a distillery. We are going over plans. And so when our goal is to be distilling in a new facility, new distillery next September. So,
and this wine, or this brandy, excuse me, is, I mean, this is all Wisconsin.
All Wisconsin, from the birth of the grapes to the genetic of the grapes, where invented or bred by Elmer Swenson, a native of Osceola, Wisconsin. So we are using La Crosse and Pepin, La Crescent, all Wisconsin native grapes grown on Wisconsin soil, which is critical to keep it that way for us, and using Wisconsin oak. Yep. And it tastes good. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling. And it's kind of repeating history, as the winery in 1890 was making brandy. So it's history repeating itself.
Oh, and those 5,000 bottles went lickety split.
Oh yeah, in a matter of 3-4 days, it was enjoyed.
Oh well, thank you so much, and I'll look forward to that. I have to put it out amongst my children. That's what I want for my birthday.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dolores. Thank you for calling. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty early here, or quickly, as we talk with Philippe Coquart about wines, winemaking. Got into a little brandy, too, because they're making a fine brandy. We got a comment from someone who said Chile's own signature grape. Comment about that. This red varietal disappeared from European vineyards in the mid-19th century, reappeared among Chile's Merlot vines 100 years later. The deepest, darkest purples of all red grapes need a long growing season to reach the full potential. rich in berry, fruits, and spice. Think blackberries and black pepper with smooth, well-rounded tannins. Makes this a very pleasing and easy-to-drink varietal. You enjoy it with red meats and corn-based dishes such as chiles, a favorite pastel, corn and meat pie, or take advantage of its natural fruity spiciness and serve it with Indian curry or a Mexican mole.
Interesting. Yeah, very good.
That's listener Julia wonders why Chile produces such great wine, but its neighbor Peru doesn't. Wondering what's the difference? Is it climate or growing conditions?
You know, it's funny because I was reading something about Mexico the same way. There's very little wine produced in Mexico, and I always wondered why as well. Are some place too hot? I don't know. I'm not aware. And why not Peru? I can't speak to that either.
It's you wonder why, and it may be just in some, you know, if there wasn't anybody there who decided to, you needed somebody to start and try and maybe fail or keep at it a bit to figure out the growing conditions for Peru or the kind of grapes and so forth that could be used.
Could be also cultural. It's maybe not part of the diet or part of the understanding, or so it could very well be that way.
Well, we have more callers online. Again, let me give you the number, 1-800-642-1234. Brenda in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi.
Hello. See, there's so many different versions of apples in Wisconsin. How come, I don't know, do they make apple wines? And if they do they make many different versions of them?
Yes, there is more and more apple wine being made. And it's known as hard cider. Hard cider is fermented apple cider, fermented apple juice, and that is naturally 6 to 7% of alcohol. It is extremely popular in Normandy, in France, where there is no grapes grown in northern western France. They make outstanding apple wine. Like you would drink a white wine, or it could even be made into a champagne. And it is an upcoming product. There is high demand for fermented apple wine.
And do you make it at your winery, or are there any in Wisconsin that do?
I am sure many Wisconsin wineries making apple wine. We don't. Are we thinking about it? Not quite sure yet. But I would say if you Google wisconsinwinery.com, you will get on the homepage of the Wisconsin Winery Association, and you might be able to find many, I would say a dozen, would be making apple wine. And it's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And that Wisconsin Winery Association, a lot of, we have quite a few vineyards.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny because I feel like an old timer, and I've been here 30 years, and I remember when there were 6 wineries in 84, 85, and today there is close to 100 wineries.
Wow.
In the state of Wisconsin. And it's the same in Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan. Wineries are opening up nationwide.
Amazing. So. Pedro in Final Act, hello. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I really enjoy the show. Thank you for having him on.
Sure.
I really enjoy your Prairie Gold. I think it's a great white. A question, do you guys do, I don't think you do, any old world style wine, new world style wine, like from America a lot of times, and Australian wine is really fruity and whatever, and, you know, French, you get all that kind of barnyard stuff and dirt, like terroir, you said. Do you do any old world style red wine, or do you mostly do the real fruit forward,
Now, we actually, very interesting question, and we do it all. We go from, you know, the new world style Riesling, our dry Riesling named Wine of the Year. Very fruity, very aromatic, Pinot Grigio, Vidal, known as La Belle Vie, our Prairie Blush, Prairie Fumé. So those would be called a New World style wine. But we do, being from Beaujolais and growing up next to Burgundy, our Domaine du Sac, our Domaine Reserve, our Cedar Creek Syrah, Cedar Creek Marquette, Cedar Creek Cabernet, are very old world traditional, you know, mm-hmm. fermented on the skin for 12 days. Just let them be. They age in the barrel for a year. We are introducing a new red, a Carignan, and using Eastern European oak barrels. So we have some of each. You know, we have the new world mm-hmm. style as well as the very old-fashioned traditional style.
Mm.
Oh, cool.
Thank you very much for calling. And Sandra in Minnesota, excuse me.
That's okay.
Oh, hi, Sandra. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, my husband and I live in southeastern Minnesota, and we really are great fans of white Riesling. We've given it for gifts, and we've consumed many bottles ourselves, and we're just wondering if there are any plans to market it in Minnesota, because we don't want to drive all the way to Wisconsin to get it every time. and I'll hang up, and you can address that question. Thank you.
All right.
You know, we are, if and when we need to sell more wine, Minneapolis Simple, Minnesota is our next destination. And I would say in the next 2 years or 3 years, we will want to have a distribution in Minneapolis Simple. Right now, we do not. The easiest for you might be to call the winery, and we have a very detailed list of the stores that would be carrying the wine between La Crosse and Eau Claire. And so that would be the closest you could come and get white Riesling or dry Riesling. But thank you for your comments.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. So you folks have, do you have an 800 number? Or you have?
Yeah, we do. And we have the website. And actually, the 800 number is VIP Wine.
VIP Wine. And we have a link to your site on my Facebook page as well. So people can go there, get that. John in Sun Prairie, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Is my understanding that almost all wineries, they're not able to produce their own, all of their grapes that they need for wine, but they have to have some brought in. So in your case at Wollersheim, over a year, well, what percentage of wine do you have to have brought in from other parts of the country, you know, that you can't make yourself?
We have grapes custom grown for us. And you know, importing grape is a broad definition. Custom grown is a totally different, where every year we get the same plot, we get the same acreage grown by the same people. So it is indeed custom grown, and we are the only one having, quote-unquote, the right to those grapes. So they are specifically grown for us, such as the Riesling, such as the Cabernet, the Pinot Noir, all the European grapes that are not suited to grow in Wisconsin weather will be custom grown for us in Washington State. We also bring grapes from the Finger Lakes and New York State for the Prairie Fumé and the River Gold. And that the total is about 80% of the grapes are custom grown, 20% are estate grown in Wisconsin. And we are having more and more grape grown in the state of Wisconsin for the brandy program. We would need something like 500 acres to grow everything that we need. And the weather will never be there.
So there you have it. John, thanks for calling. Lucas and Seymour, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
I was wondering about watermelon wines and how difficult or how easy they are to make.
Watermelon wines.
I know absolutely nothing about watermelon wine. You can make wine with anything. If there is sugar, it's going to ferment. My word of advice would be that the sugar content would be extremely low. I would say below 10%, so you would have less than 5% of alcohol. If there was a way you could concentrate, when you squeeze the watermelon, you could freeze the juice and remove some ice. That would be a natural concentration to increase the sugar content. But I would say keep on drinking grape wines.
There you go. Lynn would like to know where in the Chicago area your wine is sold.
Again, the easiest would be to call the winery, and we have many stores that are starting to carry our wines.
And again, your 800 number is 1-800...
VIP Wine.
VIP Wine. Email from Jeffrey. Can you comment on your plans for Christmas holiday season? We'll be visiting in mid-December and wondering what's going on.
Well, actually, there's a lot going on. Saturday, November 30th, we have what we call a vintage Christmas. We have a Christmas carolers singing Christmas songs, and we have food and wine pairing as well. But throughout the month of December, we have Christmas decoration, Christmas gift, and you're very welcome to take the tour, taste the wine, hang around. It's a relaxing place to be at.
Oh, yes. It is definitely that. Laura in Milwaukee wonders if you use isinglass in your finishing process. She says, I'm vegan. I hope to try the wine if it doesn't use any animal products.
We do not use any animal product in our wines, none whatsoever. Haven't and never will. We use bentonite, which is a clay. And by choice, we've never, ever used animal product in our wines.
Okay. So there you have it, Laura. And again, we should just repeat that it's the Ruby Nouveau, Beaujolais Nouveau release. You've got Thursday this coming.
Thursday at 11 a.m., we have a barrel tapping. Saturday the 23rd from 10 to 4, and we have special guests from Wisconsin Foodies, self-guided tour, cheese and wine tasting, and vintage Christmas Saturday, November 30th, also from 10 to 4.
Oh, Philippe, it's always a great pleasure to have you with us. You'll come back.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
It's a lot of fun. And always great to have Philippe Coquart with us. And he'll be back, and we'll do it again. Philippe, of course, they won many, many awards for his wines, for their wines at Wallersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac. And again, we'll have him back and talk again about the culture and of enjoying and making wine. It's really fascinating, isn't it? Sometimes beer gets treated like the lower class cousin to it, but in fact, there's a whole lot of history, science, and culture involved in brewing beer as well. And coming up next, we're going to learn about the myths and magic of beer. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.